You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
I don't know if Stugatz is mad or what the groans are about, but he's muttering about Adam Schein.
Yeah.
He's
again, Schein on sports.
Why are you muttering? What is happening with Adam Schein? Has he disgusted you?
I'm not mad at Adam Schein. I am mad at you and Mike because I had a great relationship with Aaron Rodgers. This show had a great relationship with Aaron Rodgers. And now, I said earlier that he used to do two shows. It was our show. And he used to do Pat McAfee. He still does Pat McAfee. But now he has left our show. He did Part of My Take yesterday. And so I felt like he was replacing us with Part of My Take.
Well, they went to go see him. They went to Green Bay.
He did the show. And now I feel like he's rubbing it in. Dan, you know I track these things. He has never done Adam Schein's show in his life. And today... boom. Aaron Rodgers, Schein on sports. I mean, we are doomed. So I'm mad at the two of you because you refuse to say anything nice about the guy. He's the greatest quarterback who's ever lived. I mean, someone say something nice.
I have said something nice. I said he was better than Saudi Arabia.
He's going to do ayahuasca together.
I was about to say, on the way here, my son said talk because Aaron Rodgers is his favorite player. He said talk about ayahuasca. I didn't know what he was talking about.
Well, Tony thought you smoked ayahuasca. Yeah. You do not smoke. Tony is railing against the drug system. He doesn't understand how it is that Aaron Rodgers is allowed to smoke some plant, but I don't think that's how it works with ayahuasca.
Dan, Josh Gordon must be furious right now. He must be looking around saying, okay, so this guy can go do whatever that is, and I can't, you know, do a little thing here and there.
Well, that is a little strange, the differences between marijuana and ayahuasca. But you don't have any experience with this, because I'm going to admit something I've not admitted before. In the name of brain exploration and stretching the mind, I've done clinically tested ketamine recently.
Look at that research table. For research reasons.
Special K for breakfast.
Okay, worrisome. That explains a lot.
It's a lot. Yes, it's a horse tranquilizer.
And it was, Jesus.
It was a out of body experience that brought me close to the brink of death blissfully. But that is what people are searching for with ayahuasca.
How do they? Administer that? Run around and they hit you with a dart, or you just
no?
Use
it's
something
a, it's an IV, yeah. And they're with a scientist in a very quiet room.
How official is this scientist?
Yeah,
well, it's Miami question. Official.
Yeah, he's a guy.
All right. Empty minds. He trusted it.
Was a scientist wearing a white coat?
I did six treatments.
Was a scientist wearing a white coat?
It's a great point, because if you're a real scientist, you have to wear a white coat. Have to. Professor Gilligan's Island. I mean, everyone knows.
24/7.
It depends on when you ask me, because the scientist at one point was just floating above my head in circles.
I'm on Team Dan. I'm doing a show. There's a show back in LA about therapists, and one of the things we were researching, MDMA is now one of the main research techniques in therapy for trauma, addiction, and any of that stuff. And they're starting to use it, Johns Hopkins, Cedars-Sinai. And so it literally is, you know, essentially ecstasy therapy. You know,
I would like to talk to Aaron Rodgers about what he's doing, like what he's searching for, what has caused him to head down this path where he believes that his brain chemistry needs to be altered.
Well, he's actually talking about that with other shows.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Sean on sports.
He's calling into Great Detail. Where he actually revealed that nugget was him talking about it in great detail with someone not Dan Lebatard.
Stugatz has sent the email.
I have. No response. I am telling you, Tom Fanning has never gone 11 minutes without responding to me. It is now, I think, 2 hours.
Sad.
Since I sent that email.
Sad and pathetic. Yep. Find a new Aaron Rodgers.
We will.
Let's be Josh Allen, guys. He's also part of my take. We got to find a new guy. Yeah. How about Bronco Nation? Less ride.
We will increase our potential to have major quarterbacks want to be on the show if we win a Grammy for Best Musical. The nominations come out this week?
No, this month, at the end of this month, closes the entry process. And this week, we are formally submitting the Big Game Musical as a... I got to really slow down how I say that. Otherwise, I run into the Izzy Gutierrez joke at the end. The Big Game Musical, we're formally submitting it for Best Musical Theater Album. And we hope with this platform, we can avoid some very hefty promotional fees that come with actual formal Grammy campaigns. I did not know what a booming business this was, but every time you see a billboard for Ted Lasso for your consideration best comedy series, that costs at least several thousand dollars.
Yeah, yeah.
There is a
budget. $800 or $900.
Yeah, you guys set aside a budget.
It's not us. These companies spend bazillions of dollars marketing, promoting, publicity awards. Yes.
So we're trying to do that, but by spending about 7K in Ethereum.
Sure.
That's all we have.
Is it a meritocracy in the award system, or can you buy these awards?
Oh, no.
Oh, well, it depends on which one you're talking. Any ones I've won, total meritocracy.
Right. But the ones that other ones have won,
yeah, those can be bought. They can be bought.
But I have familiarized myself with all the rules, and I know that if I bump into an Academy member, I ask them, are you a recording Academy member? Yeah. And I just tell them, I'm here to raise awareness. I'm not there to formally ask anybody for their votes. But if you are around any of your other recording Academy friends, can you continue to raise awareness? I've even started a grassroots cameo campaign with some football voices.
Oh,
and I got rejected on my first request. And this was actually a really funny story because it's the first time I've submitted for a cameo and got a phone call from the camp of the person that was denying my request. I requested Dave Wannstedt to do a 90-second promo on why the Big Game should be considered by the Recording Academy for Best Musical Theater Album.
That would have been funny.
And I had, because of the weird Mario Cristobal plugged in coaches search contacts that I've made, I got a phone call from someone that was actually with a very confused Dave Wannstedt, who I heard in the background in his very distinguishable accent asking, what the heck? He didn't want to embarrass himself, and he thought that we were making a joke of him. And I tried to explain in excruciating detail what I was going for. He still passed at the opportunity. I was then offered a former USC head football coach that wasn't Pete Carroll, and I wasn't interested.
Ed Orgeron?
No, I would totally take Ed Orgeron.
Oh, that would be huge.
Yeah. I think I can.
That's probably a good move for Ed as his first big move back here.
I think I can get Ed Orgeron.
Ed's been spending a lot of time around the UM football program. Yes, sir. A lot of practice. I think his son is involved.
Isn't Lane Kiffin coming on the show this week? Can we get him to do it?
His cameo price is very hefty.
Well, can't we just get him to do it on the show, though? Like, and send it out as an advertisement? Like, just have him do a commercial or whatever it is that you need, a video, to submit to the Academy and see if they're impressed by Lane Kiffin. I do need to go back for a second, though, and point out to you that while he might have been bewildered by the phone call and the request, Dave Wannstedt must have known somewhere in there in rejecting you, oh, I'm being made the joke here. I am that you can say however it is that you want that this Levitard is a, you want my sincere endorsement.
The Levitard show did raise some red flags, considering we once actually made a brick and mortar restaurant that was called Wani McStash's.
We did do that.
We did do that.
We did it.
Can you give me the menu? Can you just find me the menu to Wani McStash's so it's that you great. Would understand?
I know that
why.
We had puntitizers.
Lane Kiffin is $300 on Cameo.
Hefty fee, and I'd rather have that go towards a billboard in like Des Moines, Iowa, because I can't actually afford the Hollywood Strip.
Whittingham, you know that Bill Lawrence, I did not know this about Bill Lawrence until recently, because you were getting some criticism here as being a nationally negative local voice on Tua Tagovailoa, and somebody writes in, Fancy Lad is the reason I support Tua. He receives such a flood of unfair criticism from him that I can't help but root for him. Whittingham pretends to know what Tua is when there's no way anyone can honestly judge whether or not he's any good, and Chris will not be allowed on the Tua train once it's out of the station.
Excellent. Oh, my God.
Yes.
What? Still there.
Kicked off the Tua train.
He is banned. Banned from the Tua train.
I like that.
Bill Lawrence.
I believe.
Listen to this. Why do you believe? You be careful here.
I'm going to be careful. All right.
Why do you believe?
Lifelong Dolphins fan, as you know. My grandmother took me to see Miami Dolphins. I saw the Dolphins when Greasy was the quarterback. I was a little kid. But if I'm answering why he is not... There's no possible way yet that you could say, aside from just saying my opinion is better than yours, that he is going to fail. He hasn't been given the opportunity to succeed yet. And if you're an actual fan, until he's given, you know, this year is going to be a make or break year. He's either going to show us he can be an NFL quarterback or it'll be an afterthought. And if I'm a true fan, how can I go with, I already know it's not going to work. I don't want to live in the negativity. This is a Ted Lasso world. Live in the positive.
But you specifically requested my opinion is better than yours, and I present to you one Fancy Lad. Because he does not want his expectations to be in a place that he's going to again get hurt.
I would shift this argument to a philosophical one about how you want to live your life. Okay. And so to me, you know, I'm making the choice to live my life hoping for the best. And I think anybody that right now, without the, you know, the actual facts and evidence that's going to go, it's not going to work with Tua, is just somebody that wants to expect the worst and then maybe not be as miserable when it doesn't go well. And who enjoys that? Come on.
You have made a compelling argument when you invoke Ted Lasso. It's like, oh no, I'm the antithesis of Ted Lasso. I don't like how this feels. However,
not real life. Ted Lasso is a bullshit story. Yeah, yeah. Like that's not a thing that happened. That's something conjured by these creative mystics.
Spoiler alert.
But it's not about the story itself, whether or not it's real or not. It's about how you approach life. Ted Lasso provides all sorts of life lessons that we try and embody in our daily lives, and I failed here. However, I do have a role here on the show to provide at least somewhat sober analysis of the situation, and I think that too is bad.
Get over yourself.
The analysis can't be, I hope.
Well, if we're doing analysis, but I mean, Bill, that's what your analysis is. Do you have a lot of evidence?
No.
Have you watched Tua and gone, there's something there? Like, Justin Herbert's not in a great situation in law. He's got better
skills.
Yeah,
Justin Herbert passes the smell test. The guy's a monster.
Oh, I love you. I love you.
But I think the smell test has been passed, and Whitty's been thrown off into a train.
But I think for Bill, it's the same with the Sixers. Like, eventually, they're going to get it right.
It's going to work. Do I think Tua's going to be Dan Marino? No. Do I think he could be a great system quarterback if it's built around him? Yeah.
Oh, we'll just have to see what happens.
So he's like
a system quarterback. What an insult.
Is
that any difference than he's got a good old man basketball game, which was said about me? No, and I took it as a compliment.
It was a compliment.
So my point being, there's been plenty of great system quarterbacks that have won. They just don't go down and remembered as some of the greatest of all time.
Bill, I don't want a system quarterback.
Okay.
We've had system quarterbacks for 25 years.
You don't want to win with Dilfer. You don't want to win with Rich Gannon.
You'd rather lose with Herbert.
Yeah. Done with Dilfers.
Yes. What a great question. Okay. Put it on the poll.
I don't want it.
Roy at Levitard Show.
I mean, Chris.
I would rather go the rest of my life going 10-6 and going out in round one.
That's my question. Would you rather
win with Trent Dilfer?
No, I don't want to win with Trent Dilfer.
Yes, you would.
No, I don't.
You're wrong.
I'd rather win with Dilfer or win with Gannon.
Roy, put it on the poll, please, at Levitard. Lebatard show, would you rather lose with Herbert than win with Dilfer? It's a great question.
It really is.
Because the way you have to win with
There's
Dilfer,
only one answer,
all
though.
Defense, 13 to 10 games, you're enduring all of these shit games.
But you win.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I understand the question.
I mean, Mark Sanchez, I got the two AFC championship games with him.
Yeah.
He was not the reason, but he's my favorite Czech quarterback of all time.
Sure.
I mean,
you pick Mark Sanchez over Richard Todd, yeah?
Of course.
Sanchez. Over O'Brien or no?
Yes, 100%. Right. Although those guys didn't win either. So, I mean, it doesn't.
Although Richard Todd just abused the Dolphins a bunch, which
he did.
Bummed me out.
Yeah. The Wani McSashes did not have the cultural impact that it felt like it had back in the day. It wasn't a lot on the internet. There was like a Pro Football Talk post reference to it. Where they reference one of the menu items.
We
so
didn't
I had to
get
go
a
back
lot of
into
coverage for actually converting a restaurant into Wani McStashes.
This happened before the internet?
We were serving chicken finger mustaches.
No, we were chicken mustaches.
I enjoyed pulling up a tweet from 2010 when we were promoting Wani McStashes, and there's supposed to be a photograph on it, but it's a link to a Plixi website that's now dead.
Plixi.
Twitter from 12 years ago.
We did have spineless buffalo wings, stashed potatoes.
Spineless buffalo wings, yeah. Mean.
Yeah,
that's not even. There's no wittiness to it.
I wonder why Ron Stepp didn't do that cameo appearance.
There's a question mark out there. And a couple of these were witty, and then the middle one is just like. Then we had loser fries. Yeah. And then we had like the bad coach salad.
How was that?
I'm like, no.
How was wonton soup? How do you feel about wonton soup?
Did you give him the vanilla offense with no nuts?
That was for dessert.
The dessert was vanilla offense with no nuts.
They
did get progressively lazier.
There
was like a run LeSean McCoy 200 times into the line of scrimmage pasta.
Nah. I mean, yeah, you could read into that. You could read into it.
I absolutely now want to serve a bad coach salad. It's somehow less subtle than spineless chicken wings. Vanilla offense with no nuts is the best we could do?
I like stashed potatoes, and I like wonton soup.
Stashed potatoes, that's pretty solid. Yeah. That wouldn't get you fired. That wouldn't get you fired on day one.
How much of comedy writing has rejection in it?
Oh, dude, it's painful. You have to be my first job. I was so terrified as a staff writer. I was 21 to open my mouth, and the dude Rich Eustace that ran the show was just waiting for me to pitch a joke. And the second I pitched a joke, he everybody got quiet. He's like, "Bill, we're trying to do a comedy up here." And there was like a pause that my heart had stopped beating.
Damn.
And then everybody just started laughing at me. I'm like, that's cruel. It's cruel.
But they know what the ecosystem is, right? So that was welcoming you in. Hey, get used to that.
Yeah, yeah. On Spin City, we worked right above Law and Order. And so whenever anybody pitched just a crap-ass horrible joke, I would mimic them falling through the ground into the Law and Order writers room below us. So you'd be like, what are we doing down here? We're doing like a murder or some kind. Why don't you go down there and work with the sexual assault cases that they're doing on SVU? It's mean. It's cruel. You just have to absorb the punishment and keep moving.
I don't know what part of your story, right? You don't strike me just from meeting you energetically as someone who, when he was in his 20s, was Ted Lasso positive.
No.
Something happened there, right? Like to be the writer who buys into the idea of hope when people talk about right place, right time, show during a pandemic. People are confused. Can I believe in something, please? I don't get off. Your personality seems to me like it's got barbed wire on it.
Yeah. You know what? First, Ted Lasso, you know, there's a group of us creating that. But I went optimistic way before that. I think it's a product of if you have really early success, and there's two ways to go. And one is to think that you deserved it and, walk around in that kind of narcissistic cloud where, you think that everything coming your way should come your way. And the other way is to be so tickled by it, you know, by the gift of lightning striking. You walk around, you know, my dad said to me on the phone once, he's like, "You're one of those rare people that gets to enjoy what he does. And if I hear you complaining about your gig, I'm going to reach through the phone and smack you a couple times," you know? And so I think I took that path because I to this day, the fact that I get to sit around and make jokes with talented men and women and do things like come here and get to talk to people that I'm fans of anyways. It's a, you know, to be negative, man, is a bad path.
But it's harder, isn't it? It's easier to do Scrubs, right? It's easier to do something that has a lot of edge on it or has some snark or some cynicism. This is the harder thing, right? To give people syrup that's not a note off.
Yeah, but you know, I think that I've always written with kind of relentless optimism and with the undercurrent of people giving a crap about each other. And you know, even Scrubs, we had doctors, advisors, and the one rule we had on that show is we said, we can be goofy and funny and silly, but these guys always have to be of service and girls and have to be care about the people they're taking care of. And I love art and shows and movies like that where people care at the end of the day. And it might make me a closet softy, but I think, the other side is, man, it's so easy to be pervasively cynical that it'll just drag you under, you know? And so I mean, I made the choice pretty early on to kind of be relentlessly positive.
What do you regard as the best writer's room that you've worked in? Just that the most fun when instantaneously you think back to, oh, we did a lot of laughing in there. Every day was a good time.
They're all different. I was on the first year Friends, and it was hyper-competitive, but it was raucously funny because it was a bunch of young men and women in a room really just kind of competing with each other to, you know, who could have the funniest joke and pop culture references. And it felt like turning your job into a game, you do bulletin board stuff all the time, yeah. Apparently, you know? And so, you know, to know that you lost one day and go and try to win the next day, that was great. Spin City, we the amazing thing for us, we were all super young, and to have Mike Fox saying things that you wrote was insane. And that was a sitcom in New York City where I was 26 and I was afraid to hire anybody older than me because they'd know I didn't know what I was doing. So everybody there was between the age of 21 and 26. And I had hair like my son, which is peroxide blonde.
You got hiring power though that young?
Yeah, for the writer's room, you know, because I created that show with a mentor that protected me, a guy named Gary Goldberg, who we talked about, who passed away, and he let me hire the staff. And I was just too worried about hiring grownups that had done the job before because they would have seen past the mask, you know, and been like, you don't know what you're doing. So that was a blast just because being young enough, we had food. It looked like this place. We had foosball tables and ping pong, and we probably wouldn't get around to work until midnight sometimes. It was awesome. But everyone's a different experience, man. I there's been very few I haven't liked, to tell you.
Which is the one that had the greatest degree of difficulty getting a joke from your thought to success.
To the script.
Yeah.
The cocky part of me will go, there's not many because I started creating my own shows at like 25, 26, you know, so I was very lucky. The first couple gigs I had, I got fired from my first three jobs in a row. I did a sitcom that got canceled, and then I got fired off Friends, The Nanny, and Boy Meets World. Boom, boom, boom. And I think all of them were because it took me a second to learn the rule that it's not your job to do things that make you laugh. It's your job to do things that make the creator and the showrunner laugh. Yeah.
I don't know if that's Mike Ryan's philosophy.
No, it's not.
Certainly not Billy's.
It doesn't seem to be kind of the culture here at all, Dan.
Yeah. Those guys really like to make themselves laugh. I think that's the first audience, is it not? Witty, why is
it? To be fair, it's done well. Look at us. Look at this wonderful palatial studio.
Trying our best to make ourselves
laugh.
Look
at our YouTube stream that had audio issues early on.
We fixed it, though.
We're at the top of the mountain here, babe.
It's pretty luxurious.
Witty, why were you saying that there's not such a big difference between Draymond Green's new media and old media? What is it? Because Draymond keeps hitting the note that he's at the front of a revolution that is here to attack, I guess, Stephen A. Smith. I guess he's doing old people and people who have a different perspective on entertainers and criticizing entertainers than Draymond Green has.
Draymond Green also has one note in respect to, you can't talk, I can. That's his whole thing is, you person, even in the NBA, so I guess there is a player, Austin Reeves, who doesn't like his nickname. I think they like.
This is a big issue in LA.
Yeah,
by the way.
I think they might call him like. Is it like Hillbilly Jordan or something like
the
that?
The one he really doesn't like, though, they call him AR-15.
Right. You know well, what I mean? Yeah. I mean, that's not great.
And, yeah, he wants to ditch it.
Yeah. So he came out and said, "I would not like to be called that anymore." And Draymond Green said, "You're not good enough to determine what your nickname is. You don't have enough stature in basketball." And honestly,
he's kind of right.
Stugatz can deliver that opinion. New media, we're not so different, you and I. Because all it is, it's Stugatz giving hot takes. It's all it is. It's the same thing. Eventually, you get a rundown from the producers, a bunch of stories a day. All right, what's my take? Yeah, Austin Reeves, shut up. Like, that's how is it any different? Like, they're meant to, you know, present this, we've played the game, we know the game, we know the culture of the locker room, we know what it's like to win championships, and we can provide a perspective that you can't. And it can't just be, Austin Reeves, shut up.
Yeah. It's a good take, though.
It can't.
I want to ask you guys, the culture of, hey, guy, you're not good enough, shut up. I keep bringing this story up. Mike James made it to professional basketball. Bill Lawrence can tell you, as somebody who plays still creatively and gets complimented by having old man game, that getting to get paid for playing basketball, what you have to climb over to make a profession of that, you have to be really good at basketball.
Top 1%, right?
Mike James says of Steph Curry, he's not top 5. And the immediate reaction of everybody is, who the f*** is Mike James?
Yeah, he's not good enough. I mean, Mike James is not in the top 555 players of all time. Give me LeBron James.
But who do I have to make it so that you're not saying, who the bleep is blank with Steph Curry? Like, who has to say that Steph Curry is one-dimensional for you to say, okay, I'll consider it because you're as good as Steph Curry? I'm not going to dismiss you as, get out of here, Mike James.
Hmm. Oh, you want to hear the Hollywood metaphor? Because we talk about this a lot. The Hollywood metaphor for this, and that's Mike has the answer. Go ahead, Mike. The Hollywood metaphor for this, by the way, that we talk about a lot. Do you guys remember when critics of art and material used to be reputable and people know Paulina Kael? They'd know names, Ben Brantley, of people that did reviews. And so we in the business accepted criticism because you went, oh, these are people who went to school for it, studied for it, made their way up, you know, and then they would write these amazing think pieces about why this play, movie, or TV show is good or it sucks. And now, literally within 5 minutes of your thing being available to be streamed on where it is, you can go on your phone and read 150 reviews from who knows who. You know what I mean? And so there's such a big negative backlash to it. The amount of comedy writers that write, you guys see in Ratatouille, the speech about, the amount of comedy writers and TV writers that constantly quote that stupid speech about any piece of art is better than the piece of shit that someone writes about it. It feels like it's the same culture right now, because it's not just, but if you're asking me, I would put you guys up there as reputable enough to comment on whether or not Steph Curry.
Oh, your judgment is terrible.
No. He's right about that. But to answer your question, Dan, like, I think, listen.
Not all of you guys.
If it was Mike Bibby instead of Mike James, I think I'd be okay with him saying that about Steph Curry. But it's Mike James.
Well, Mike James. How's Mike James doing over in Europe?
Mike James is a legendary European basketball player.
Well, then rank the European players.
He won an award called Most Spectacular Player.
How many years did he play in the NBA? How many years for Mike James in the NBA?
He played for the Nets in 2021. So, and he's played one-year stops in Phoenix and New Orleans. But he's played for the best in Europe.
Did he ever start in the NBA? Like, for a season?
He's the Steph Curry of Europe.
He's a two-time Greek League champion, an Italian League champion, an All-Euro first teamer.
I think I might be a one-time Greek League champion.
He was the best scorer in the Euro League. Like, he has credentials.
Give me that trophy. What is the name of the award? Most Spectacular Person in the World? What is the name of that? It sounds like a great award. It sounds like it's better than Most Valuable Player.
You guys asked before, you can buy that award.
So
you can definitely buy Most Spectacular Person.
For your consideration, Greek League Most Spectacular Player.
What is that?
You know it when you see it.
Everybody knows you can purchase a Golden Globe and you can purchase Most Spectacular Player.
I've been meaning to ask you, with all of your endeavors, are you a member of the Recording Academy?
What do we need from the Recording Academy?
I have a call today in 30 minutes to find out exactly what we need in terms of budget, and then I'll back channel directly with one of the company's co-founders to see if I can get a billboard put up in Iowa or something.
How much does this cost, Lawrence, to get nominated for these dumbass awards?
Millions
that you
of dollars.
People
millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. Millions and millions of dollars. None of this is going to work. By the way, I'm going to go back on what I said before about staying optimistic about the Dolphins. In this case, it's not going to happen. It's not going to work. Set your dial to disappointment.
You know what's confusing is that there's two Mike Jameses that dominated European basketball.
Yeah, there's a Mike James that played for the Cavs.
Yeah, the Mike James that played for the Heat. Yeah, but they both were really good. Most spectacular player, one that weighed in on Curry, he's the most recent one. Okay. He was the most spectacular player.
I need to know MSP. What goes into this award, though, and is it better than most valuable player? Because if you tell me I'm walking into a room, I can win two trophies, and you can give me most valuable player or most spectacular player, I think I want to be spectacular
amazing.
The most spectacular player award is the award given to the player that is deemed to have the most impressive highlight plays of the season. Ooh. They tend to be slam dunk plays.
Wow.
As according to the Greek Basketball League Most Spectacular Player Wiki entry.
So it'd be Ja Morant for the NBA, yeah. Right? He'd be MSP? Yeah. MSP.
Remarkably,
will you ask?
Remarkably, a list of names that I actually recognize. Mario Hezonja won the most recent edition. Thanasis
right.
Antetokounmpo was a two-time winner of the award.
Wow.
Mike James and Okara White, who I remember used to play
for
Florida
State.
Oh,
but I just realized that most spectacular player now is kind of not a great player.
No, it's not as cool. I thought it meant like most charming and charismatic player.
Yeah, I thought just an effervescent personality. Somebody sweet too.
Like when you leave dinner with a guy, you're like, that guy was spectacular. Yes. What'd you think about that dinner you had with Mike James? He was a spectacular guy.
I believe the Miami Heat had like a 90% winning percentage when they started Okoro White in their starting lineup. Remember the Okoro minutes? God.
Roy, put it on the poll, please, at Levitard Show. Have you ever left a dinner with another man and said, wow, that was a really spectacular man? Has anyone ever had that experience at dinner? I've liked someone, but I don't think I've ever left like just starry-eyed. Like, I can't believe I would describe that person the way I would describe opening a champagne bottle. Just
I can't think of a dinner that I didn't say that about somebody, if I'm just being honest.
Because you're an amazing...
But you weren't being a
Hollywood circles.
You said it about me.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Roy's a spectacular guy.
He did say it about you, and again, I question all of Bill Lawrence's judgment.
How dare you?
Howdy, folks. It's Mike Ryan. I'm living the gimmick right now. The playoffs have already gotten me, and we're a couple of days into it. It's like a playoff equinox that's going on right now. It's ridiculous, and if you're like me, you like rooting on your team. Trust me, I just bought 3 for my wife, daughter, and myself for game 1. I live it. Because I've been out there. I've been out in those streets. I've been panicking last second trying to find deals. And then when I eventually settle on something, I'm not sure if it's the lowest price out there. And I'm getting just totally blitzed with surprise fees. Well, thankfully, Game Time takes it out of the equation. All the fees are up front. There's no surprises. You get to see what your seat looks like. It's amazing the technology we have these days. But Game Time has your back always. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app right now, create an account, and use code DAN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DAN for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute deals, lowest price, guaranteed. Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Lebatard.
Mustard mixes with mayonnaise better than ketchup does.
What?
Yes.
No.
What you've just said is appalling. What you've just said is an offense to anyone who's ever eaten.
Stugatz.
Ketchup. Oh, my God. Don't like it on anything, but...
What?
Ketchup? Yeah.
You're un-American!
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugats.
We are presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
I think that nothing has signaled that the football season is about to be ushered in like what Stugats just did. Radiant, buoyant. It feels like someone who has been in a dark room for a long time and now, not only in a dark room, but confined and with no movement of freedom. And now they are coming out into the light because the Hall of Fame game has arrived. Mark Davis is eating a chicken wing with both hands.
Wearing all white.
We were talking about Hawaii football yesterday. You could feel it off in the distance. And now, making it truer than ever, we're not going to Dolphins camp this Friday, right, Whittingham?
No, because next week.
Football is in the air, but I don't think it's been more in the air than Stugats saying, I've got a list of top five coaches who better win this season.
They have to win this season.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
They better they win this season.
Oh, my
season.
God.
Now, last season, Mike Zimmer was on this list, correct? Mike Zimmer would have been, and now he's gone. You better win this season. That means playoff appearance and what, Stugats? First round win? Like, what do we need to be doing in the playoffs? When you say better win.
Right.
How are we defining that?
These are coaches that need to make the playoffs. At the very least, they need to make the playoffs this year or enough. That's it. They're fired. They're gone. They need to win right now.
I love these lists. If you remember, we had a very different list last year entering the season where we put coaches on notice. Yeah. And ooh, some of them folded like a cheap lawn chair, and others went to the Super Bowl. That's right. Zach Taylor was put on notice.
This is different from the other list that Stugats has. Stugats, and I think this might be an overload. You guys might not be ready for this. Top five quarterbacks who need to do it right now.
Wow. Right now?
Right now.
Like right now.
Who need to do it right now? They need to do it.
Yeah.
That's right.
I don't even know what list I want first.
I'm dizzy. My eyebrows are singed.
I have the coaches list. I have to find the quarterback list. It's somewhere around.
Let's see the coaches.
Yeah.
Top five quarterbacks who need to do it right now. Top five coaches who better win this season. Those are two different things.
Yes.
Need to do it right now and better win this season. I don't know what the differences are, but they're different.
They're different. Like, you know, doing it this season and doing it right now, you have to do it right now, meaning starting with week one, you have to be good. You have to be good from week one for the entire season.
How is that different than better win this season?
You have to win this season.
You can lose
a game or two early, okay, but still make the playoffs, and you return for another season. How about that?
I love how your names are also the description.
Yeah.
So it's top five coaches who better win this season.
They have to win this season.
Thank you for clarifying because there was a lot of confusion. They have to win this season.
Listen, if they like their jobs, they probably want to win this season.
But better win this season sounds more threatening than have to win this season.
It does.
They better win this season suggests like gulags or something terrible is going to happen beyond firing. It's not just, hey, get out of here.
Okay, top five coaches that better win this season. I mean, if that's what you want, that's what I'll give you. They better win
you're
this
threatening
season.
Them. Yes. Like that, when you say they better, that's more than have to.
Totally fair. I'm good with that.
Number five.
Mike McCarthy.
He's got
to win right away.
Strong list.
Might be low. That's number five.
Prescott
needs to do it right now.
Sean Payton's out there waiting to take his job.
Yeah. He's got to win right now, Dan.
That's different than better win right now.
That's my list, you know.
But which list is it?
It's you got to win this season.
That's not what the list is. Better win this season is a threat. Number four.
Kevin Stefanski.
I mean,
McCarthy should have been higher.
Really?
Yeah. Ooh. I mean, Stefanski's going to have to better do it with Jacoby Brissett, it might seem.
Yeah, well, it's my list.
Number three.
Robert Saleh.
Really?
Yeah.
Does he?
Yep.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Very early in the life cycle.
No, as Mike pointed out earlier, there is a ton of talent. You have Zach Wilson.
I did point out earlier that there was a ton of talent.
A ton of talent. You have Zach Wilson. You drafted him. You drafted him very high in the draft, a lot higher than other people would have drafted him. Plus, you've surrounded him now with a ton of talent. And you're in a pretty bad division. You have the Bills and no one else, really. We think the Dolphins might be good. We think the Patriots might be good. The Jets have an opportunity, and Salah needs to do it this season.
They're the worst team in the division.
That's not true. You don't know that. They're talented.
Put it on the poll, please, Roy. Do the Jets have a ton of
By the way, the Patriots plus 500 to win the division, the Jets plus 2,200 to win the division.
Expectations. I mean, how about
that? Not bad. They're a little.
They're the worst team in the division, and you don't have a quarterback. I don't know what you're doing.
Salah needs to win right now, Dan. That is a very talented team, okay? And maybe he's a system quarterback.
Needs to win right now.
He needs to. Dan, I'm telling you right now, Woody Johnson's going to fire him.
Better win this season. Needs to win right now is the quarterback category.
Yeah.
But I know it's your list, but they're two different lists. They're both your lists, and you keep confusing the list.
You don't think Sal is going to get fired if he doesn't make the playoffs? You think he's going to get the 3 years? You think Jet fans are that patient? You think Woody Johnson's that patient? Did he look patient when he was leading the Jet fans at training camp in the J-E-T-S Jet year?
Duh.
He has major expectations this year. Needs to win this season.
Number two.
Matt Rhule.
Oh, that one's good.
Yeah. I am so tired of Matt Rhule. The quarterback whisperer of the Carolina Panthers. He's so good that he has three quarterbacks. How about you make one of them good? He hasn't made any of them good. Sam Darnold's not good. He drafted Matt Corral. Now he has Baker Mayfield, who I'm rooting for, by the way. I want Baker to have a big year. But Matt Rhule came in. He could have selected any job. He's the hot college coach. It's been two seasons. He's done nothing except draft quarterbacks and ruin quarterbacks. Do me a favor. Win now. How about that?
Stu, he's actually not drafted quarterbacks, and that's been half their promise. They keep getting old guys and just bringing him in like, oh, we'll just fix him, and then just never draft anybody.
Because he's not a whisperer. That's the deal. You better start whispering now.
Was he ever suggested to be a quarterback whisperer?
Yeah, Matt Rhule was. Yes, he was.
At Baylor and Temple?
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Who's the quarterback there?
Look it up.
Okay, there it is. Boom. What are you going to do with that, Tony? How about you just eat some
look it up. Yeah,
you got to look it up.
I believe P.J. Walker was a quarterback at Temple.
Just Google Matt Rhule quarterback whisperer.
I don't think very much is going to come up, except one internet search that reveals that you have all the words, and it says Matt Rhule is not a quarterback whisperer. Is the only thing you will find on the whole of the internet.
Well, we'll see.
He got a 6-year deal, right, Matt Rhule? And this is his second year, and Stugatz has announced it. He's number two on coaches who better win this season, behind only.
Wait, did you see what Matt Rhule did at practice?
This is Matt Rhule's third season, correct?
Yeah,
right?
Yes. But he's taking control over a team. Hollywood Higgins and Baker Mayfield, a lot of people may remember their tandem over in Cleveland. They're now in Carolina. Baker threw a deep touchdown pass to Hollywood Higgins, and they rolled out the red carpet and photo snapping celebration that they did in Cleveland so often. Matt Rhule was having none of it. Everybody did laps. You know why? Because he better win this year.
Exactly.
First Google search comes out to a link from September 7th of 2021 when I put in Matt Rhule quarterback whisper. It said, Panthers can be a sleeping giant if Matt Rhule saves Sam Darnold.
See? There you go.
Somebody wrote a sentence on the internet. There you go. You looked it up.
A year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Number one.
Works for me. Brandon Staley.
No.
What do you mean?
Love this.
Thank you. He has the most talented quarterback perhaps in the game. Okay. And first two seasons has not made the playoffs. Now, the quarterback only played last season, but he still hasn't made the playoffs with a talented quarterback and a very good team. He's Mr. Go For It on fourth down. Okay, he does it way too much, way too often. You know what, Dan? There's a time and a place for it. There's also a time and a place for a good punt, okay? And Brandon Staley hasn't learned that yet. He has the talent. He has the quarterback. He has to win this season.
Single-handedly cost him the playoffs last year by not playing for the
time. Go ahead. Cost him the playoffs again and see what happens. I mean, he's gone.
What are you shaking your head about, Roy?
We should put that on the poll. Is there a time and a place for a good punt?
There is. There really is. Field position. It's a game of field position.
It's all about real estate acquisition. Yeah. That is a game.
Thank you. I made a mistake with Salah. I feel bad about it. I did. I've never done this before, but I have the names jumbled up, and I was trying. I don't know how I mistook Robert Sala for Frank Reich, because Frank Reich was really the coach I was thinking of. He has to win right now. He has to win this season. No, he had his guy Carson Wentz. They're a talented team.
He throws the top five into all sorts of upheaval.
I don't know what happened.
You make the mistake. You just power through.
I wrote it down. I scratched someone out, and I read the wrong name. Look, read it. Read it. You'll see what happened. You'll see.
Tell the audience. It's your list, though.
Tell the audience.
I know.
It's, yeah.
But sometimes I write down names, then I think of a guy later, and I scratched out the wrong name, and it's Frank Reich. He had Carson Wentz. That was his guy a year ago. He did nothing. Now he has Matt Ryan, Matty Ice. They're a very talented team in a pretty bad division. In fact, a lousy division, because the Jaguars are no good, the Texans are no good, and Frank Reich is supposed to be this great head coach. He's number three on the list. Robert Sala, congratulations. You have another year, okay?
Let me just go over real quick just how sloppy all of this was, because it's somehow sloppier on what he's written down. We will get to top five quarterbacks who need to do it right now in a second.
I think since 2018, the Colts have had a different starting quarterback for week one every year.
Well, how about you make one good? How about that? He got his guy, Carson Wentz. He wanted Carson Wentz because he coached Carson Wentz when he was in Philadelphia and had the big year. He got him last year, and Wentz was a disaster.
Everyone is raving about Matt Ryan.
Okay, but everyone was raving about Carson Wentz last year. I mean, and it's a lousy division, Mike.
Will you guys
the Colts
please,
have to make the playoffs.
Will you guys please, somebody in the other room, is anyone fluent in Stugatz back there? Because this is what I've got of this list that he's written down that he's handed
it's
me, okay?
List, yeah.
It's number five is McCarthy, but then number five, I see Kingsbury is there, and he's been scribbled out.
Yeah, you see what happens. That's what I'm telling you. Now, Kingsbury, debatable.
It's like a rough draft.
Number four is Stefanski, but Kyle something. It's S-H-A.
You were going to put Kyle Shanahan on there?
But it's not an S. It's a T. It's
I
Kyle.
Pulled up on it.
No,
yeah.
He didn't even finish the last name. It's three letters.
Did you think it was Kyle Stefanski?
I realized that Shanahan's safe. Like, he's fine. He's been a Super Bowl. He's been an NFC Championship game. He's okay.
But
I mean,
number
lost a lot of tough.
Number three, he does have a lot of tough. Number three is Robert, and then it's S-E-L, and then off to the side is Melt R-U-E.
Yeah.
It's Melt R-U-E.
Mel Tucker at Michigan State?
I think it's Melt Rule. I think. I'm not sure. I don't know.
Yeah.
Number three is now Staley.
Friend.
Number three is Staley. Frank Reich is number two and is scribbled down, and number one is also Staley.
Mm-hmm. Yep, my list.
It checks out.
Checks out.
What a tight individual.
Top five quarterbacks who need to do it right now, tomorrow.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yeah! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.